May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Please be seated. I don't know how many of you have seen a New Orleans jazz funeral, but it's an experience like no other. The brass band begins with a solemn procession at church, playing hymns as they march slowly to the cemetery, usually playing Free as a Bird or Just a Closer Walk with Thee. No improvisation, no frills, nothing but sadness blown low, and the blues to the beat of a snare drum. Once the procession enters the cemetery, and after the final words are spoken and the body is lowered into the ground, the mood shifts. Brightly colored umbrellas spring up. The funeral procession heads back to town with the raucous strains of Didn't He Ramble? And When the Saints Go Marching In. And folks who heard the somber hymns going out earlier that day have put on their party clothes because they know when the procession comes back in, there's going to be a party. A big celebration. That's very close to the directions that we get when we do an Episcopal burial service, because it says, remember in the instructions, that it's a time of mourning, but also a time of celebration. And I think that's, when my time comes, I'd like for it to have a celebration, have a party, have fun. That's in contrast to what the widow was facing that day. As they came out of Nain to go to the cemetery and they met another party, she wasn't planning a celebration. No one was in that, because what appears to be her last living male relative had died. And in that society, that left a woman destitute most of the time. Left them on the street. No means of support. There was no expectation, no hope of celebration for this woman. And as they mourned and wailed, as they made their way out of the gate of the city of Nain, they met another party, another procession coming into Nain, another entourage, and a man in the crowd looked at her, and then he stepped out and he went over to her and said, "Don't weep." And she must have thought he was crazy. "Don't weep? And here I am destitute? All the male members of my family are gone. Don't weep? Are you serious?" And Luke says, the bearers stood still. I don't think that even closely described what happened. I think they were dumbstruck, because the next thing that happened is this person reached up and touched the bier they were carrying and said to the person, "Young man, sit up." And he did. He sat up and began to speak, Luke said. Well, I can imagine jaws dropped at that point with that entourage. And when the shock wore off, it seems the umbrellas popped out, because they started singing and maybe even had some version of scat. And they were saying, "The Lord has looked favorably upon his people. God has sent a great prophet to be among us." And they were happy. And it was party time. Participants in jazz funerals expect the afternoon to be full of celebration, but she had no such expectations. But it became a street party after all. And that was great. She loses her son. Now she's restored. She's saved from living on the street. The crowd glorifies God and praises God. And the word goes out through all Judea, Luke says. And that's all great. There's another little part of this story, though, that is, I wouldn't say troubling, but maybe a little bothersome. Jesus, in the Gospel of Luke, heals a lot of people. The woman approaches him at dinner party, pours perfume on his feet. He says, "Your sins are forgiven." Another woman comes through the crowd, touches the hem of his garment. She's healed. And then last week we heard about the centurion slave being healed. And he told Jesus, or sent word, he said, "Just say the word and he'll be healed." And he was. But the woman in today's story doesn't ask Jesus to raise her son, doesn't even fall on her knees to beg for her son's life. And all she does is cry. Well, maybe she doesn't ask Jesus for a resurrection because she says, I think in her mind, it's too late. The boy's dead. He's on the bier. We're carrying him to bury. And nowhere in the Gospel of Luke does she ever say thank you. She may have, but who knows? Or the boy that was raised from the dead, he doesn't say thank you. Not a word about faith, not a word about gratitude or praise. So what if this story is not about faith at all? Not about gratitude. Maybe the story is all about grace. Pure, unadulterated, undiluted, unbidden grace. You see, the raising of the son is not because of the mother's faith or her son's worthiness. It happens, Luke says, because Jesus looked at her and had compassion. Had compassion on her sorrow. She didn't have to act faithfully, and the son didn't have to live gratefully. So I think the point of the story is that it's not about the mother and the son, it's about the compassion of Jesus Christ as he looked upon this scene. And the point is that when grace comes into our life, it requires nothing of us but a choice. Because we always have a choice to receive it or not. When the grace of God comes into our life, the point is always to be packing your party clothes. Because when Jesus comes into our life, we never know when a funeral procession is going to turn into a party. Years ago, when I was in a little Baptist church in Plant City, a lady who was an inspiration to all of us died. And she had it written that she wanted hymns sung at her funeral joyously. And we went into this little Baptist church, this little concrete block Baptist church, and we sat down and tentatively began singing "Holy, Holy, Holy," and it seemed out of place because you're supposed to be sad and unhappy with this thing. And then we went on to sing "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine," and then we moved into "How Great Thou Art," and by that time we were all getting into it, singing our hearts out. And then the final chorus of "Amazing Grace" was stirring, and it was a joyous occasion. Something highly unexpected in that little Baptist church, because usually the preacher got up and took about an hour to talk about how sad it was and all this sort of thing. And next day at the grocery store across the street where I live, Smith Brothers Grocery Store, I heard some of the ladies talking about an unconventional funeral. "Well, I never," they said. "Have you ever seen such a thing?" And as a teenager, Ms. Taylor's funeral and the comments of those women at the grocery store taught me a lot about grace. Grace comes unbidden, you see. It comes on us sometimes when we least expect it. We can't earn it. We can't work for it. We can't plead for it. It just comes. And when it does come, we have the choice to receive the grace of God, the blessings, or not. We can sing with our arms crossed and our teeth clenched, or we can open our hearts and our throats to praise God. And we can keep the drums muted, or we can loose the rift that makes the angels dance. We can keep the umbrellas closed, or we can open them and start celebrating. The choice is ours, always. Choice is ours. When Jesus comes with compassion in his eyes, we can wrap our funeral clothes around us tightly, or we can change into our party togs and celebrate. Choice is ours. It's always our choice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.